Here we are with our favorite Joe Courtney. Joe Courtney is a Democrat from Connecticut's beautiful 2nd District, out there by the water, you know, in office since 2007. How do you think Joe Biden is doing? What are you hoping to hear in his speech that's coming up on Wednesday?
Well, I think he's been doing great, and I think you know, the one thing that has been hard, because he's obviously taken a lot of criticism, is that he's decided that getting results for the country is more important than, you know, satisfying some, you know, inside the Beltway pundits about, you know, a perfect vote level to, you know, meet a bipartisanship test. I mean, you know, everyone knows Joe Biden's history is that he actually has a long record of working with Republicans. So that's in his DNA. But I think it was pretty clear with the rescue plan that, you know, the Republicans who never came forward with a counterproposal had absolutely no intention of really giving him any help with passage of that. And so the rescue plan, which I think is still, you know, unpacking and unfolding as we speak. So, for example, the, you know, the Shuttered Venues program finally went live yesterday, which is, you know, I mean, desperately hoped for and expected by people affected by that. The restaurant grant program goes into effect on May 3rd, again, which is the hardest hit sector, I think, in the, you know, COVID recession. On May 1st in Connecticut, the new rescue plan subsidies for the Affordable Care Act are going to go live, which are going to be absolutely eye-watering for people. I was on the phone with the Connecticut Exchange. They were saying how a family in Middletown, Connecticut, of three who earn about $105,000, $106,000 a year, who are presently paying $1,800 a month for ACA coverage, you know, because they get very expensive once you get above that 400% of poverty level. Their premium level is going to go from $1,800 a month to practically zero. And I mean, that hasn't even sunk in yet with the public. So, again, good for Joe Biden that, you know, he understood that, you know, getting the $1,400 payments out, making sure people didn't fall off a cliff with unemployment, you know, getting the state and local funding out there was more important than, you know, meeting some, you know, aesthetic of bipartisanship, which Mitch McConnell, you know, has had no intention of providing. You know, and I think that's why his numbers in terms of his handling of the pandemic, his overall positive rate, which far surpasses, you know, the highest numbers that Trump ever had in his 4 years. You know, I think the people get that, you know, he's serious. And now it's on to infrastructure, and now it's on to the American Families Plan. You know, that's going to be another slog, because Mitch McConnell said it yesterday. He will make sure that we build back never. I mean, he actually said that. Yeah, you know, shows that, you know, we've got to, you know, be smart here and make sure that the infrastructure to-do list, which has been out there for as long as I've been in Congress, finally, you know, gets real action.
Joe Courtney, do you think Trump is calling in instructions from the sidelines?
Well, I don't, you know, my Republican colleagues who I do talk to, you know, most of them, I think, probably would shudder at the thought that, you know, Donald Trump's on the phone. but I do think McCarthy has shown a really disappointing tendency to you know, shuttle back and forth to Mar-a-Lago. The McConnell thing with Trump, I think, is just so complicated. I can't even imagine, you know, what that, you know, level of communication is. But there's no question that even without Twitter and other forms of social platforms, you know, I think Republican members are still very leery of getting on the wrong side of this guy. So to that extent, he definitely exerts, in my opinion, an unhealthy, trend within the Republican members to just, again, not vote for, you know, bills like the rescue plan, which had a 70% approval rating and still is holding that kind of polling. You know, why people would say, okay, I'm not going to vote to give my constituents $1,400 you know, is beyond me. You know, that's kind of politics 101. You know, that sort of thing goes down well with the public. But so Trump's hold is still there.
So you were in the room January 6th. We've talked about it, and it was a difficult time for so many people, including McCarthy, the Republican, yeah, who got on the phone with the president and asked him to basically call the dogs off. I mean, is there any kind of resentment towards this guy, towards McCarthy, for what he's pulling here?
As I said, I disappointing is the diplomatic term that I would use, because he knows. You know, he knows how serious it was. He knows after the impeachment trial, where we all learned, I mean, even those who were, you know, on the campus, how close Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi, you know, really came to running into the mob. And you know, if anything, his criticism, which he did articulate, you know, within the 48 hours or so after January 6th, the fact that now that's just kind of, is melting away is just, it's really, it doesn't say much for him as, you know, a person in terms of, you know, his willingness to stand up for himself, you know, in terms of his prior comments. And I think they've just, you know, kind of made a decision that they just want to turn the page and hope everyone's going to forget about it. Which, again, these reports that come out in terms of the Capitol Police reviews, the continuing, you know, just cascade of indictments that demonstrate how, you know, dire this whole day was for the country, hopefully is going to make sure that turn the page approach is going to fail.
Well, all I got to say is McCarthy should be ashamed of himself. Is that a good interview question? Okay, so now that was my feeling. So Connecticut doesn't lose a House seat. Were you in any personal danger of losing a seat, Joe Courtney?
So, again, we lost one in 2000. We went from 6 to 5. And, you know, Connecticut, because the nature of the 2009 recession, which hit the financial sector the hardest, and Connecticut had a high concentration, you know, of that part of the economy. There's no question that our population growth really kind of, you know, flattened. And, you know, our birth rate is not that high, which I frankly think is the big reason why the U.S. in general didn't grow as much as almost any census in history. So, you know, we were watching it pretty cautiously. The predictions before the numbers came out were that we thought we were definitely in pretty good shape for 2020. 2030, you know, could be a totally, you know, that could be a different ballgame if we don't start sort of picking up the pace in terms of, you know, attracting young families and, in my opinion, you know, having sensible immigration policy, which, again, I think would, you know, attract people to the state of Connecticut. So anyway, Rhode Island was the one which I think everyone in New England was really watching like a hawk because they've had pretty much the same trend that Connecticut has had and basically began from a lower baseline. But my two Democratic colleagues from Rhode Island, Jim Langevin and David Cicilline, had good news yesterday, which is that Rhode Island is going to hold on to both seats. And frankly, I think it's good news for the region because these are guys who really contribute a lot in their different committees, in their work, and really help the region. And as you know, it's a numbers game at the end of the day. And I think we're now, the total New England delegation is less than half of California. So it's holding on to these seats is really important.
Congressman Joe Courtney, great to talk to you, sir. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about things like the American Rescue Plan.
Okay. Thanks, Alan.